take a few weeks to do some spring cleaning. I'm going to spend a few weeks with some concerns that are more tied to us personally, the congregation. A lot of times when I'm here preaching God's word, I want to give us a general understanding of how Christians should understand the scripture and what we should do just generally as Christians. This morning, the focus will definitely be more on us, on how we as this church should consider particular things. But before we get into that, I wanted to just say thank you to Brother Rich for bringing the word last week. Where does your help come from? From the Lord. I was told a long time ago, and I'm trying to believe it now, that if you ever wanted to make friends with your pastor, tell him what he preached about last week. Brother Rich came up here, and with a humble spirit, as usual, called himself very straight. And so we don't have to bring him into confession because I don't know if that's very true. And so I am thankful for his ministry because last week was a very difficult week for me. For us, we had a few doctor's appointments and those made regular pastoral ministry a little bit difficult. So I asked the men if there were any volunteers. Everyone right now was crying, but Rich, Brother Rich was like, pulled the sword from the stone, came up here and blessed us with Psalm 121, and it was a wonderful time in the Word of God. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I also wanted to dispel any hearts in case you wondered if I was in trouble or anything like that. No, not yet. But everything is okay. I'll pray for the family. Zeph is not feeling great, and Marissa is also not feeling too well, so he is playing doctor. Let's go before the Lord. Let's ask for his blessing on our time in the Word this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for being our God, and for revealing yourself to us and drawing us to your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord of all glory. I thank you for him, and we thank you for him, and it is our desire this morning to exalt the name of Christ, that Christ would be lifted high, that we would not only know him, but see him as glorious and above all. Thank you for salvation that is found in Christ, and thank you for filling us with the Spirit of Christ, your Holy Spirit. That we be edified, Lord, by your word, and that this morning will contribute to that. That we would be better saints for being around each other, but also better saints because we are around your word and we are very much in your presence. And so I thank you for being with this church, being with us. We have many needs and we have many concerns, and there are hearts that are worried and are concerned and are troubled, and there are things that are ailing us, our bodies are failing us, and we have relationships that experience stress and all sorts of things, Lord, and may you hold all these things in the palm of your hand. bring lightning to the brings her down. For being someone that loves to fish. We are fishers. Not only the fish, the Lord told his disciples that he would make them fishers of men. Fishers of men. Let's back up. I mean, he loves to fish. He won't. And now, who does not love to fish? Now I know my sights are set on you. To make you a fisher of men. I believe in the scripture as a fisher of men. She's had fishing rods longer than I've been alive. Beloved, we are called to witness. We are called to witness. And that is the title of the sermon, A Call to Witness. There is no doubt that we are called to witness. Acts 1:8, the Lord is speaking to his disciples before he ascends up to glorious heaven, and he tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Yes, Jesus had numerous springs of life. Because I still did it. I mean, it's a surprise to me. And in a couple of weeks, when the guys and I are at Shepherd's Conference, and they read on your tag, it has your name, it has what you're doing ministry, they'll say in the Barry Springs. And it's rare, but every now and then you'll find somebody that has, taken the 15 to Vegas and said, hey, that name seems familiar. Or they'll just say, where is that? And the gospel needs to be preached here as well. Yes, you are not only called witnesses, but you are actually called to witness. And we are not just called any witnesses. We are called witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are my witnesses. Not my witnesses. You are not my witnesses. You are not Newberry Community Church's witnesses. You are witnesses for Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you. He has purchased you. He has adopted you. And he has saved you. And he owns all rights to you. And so he calls you his witness and then sends you out to Jesus Christ. To witness. He plunges his strong arm down to the pit of sin and pulls your lifeless body out of it like you were Jonah and lifts you up to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. A living life. Grave, of course, it's a living life. It's a life. No, because the Word of God testifies and tells us that there are some people that are alive and yet they're dead. But He lifted you out of that pit of sin. He gave you life so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That's 1 Peter 2:9. you can believe that, or if it's something that you read, or it's something that you heard me say 20 times, or do you really believe that Jesus Christ has saved your soul that was on the road to hell, surely perishing without his intervention, and now has full claim to you because he saved you? If that's true, then we have business that we can do this morning. If you say it's not true, then you still need to stick around. Do you agree that you are Christ's witnesses? We are Christ's witnesses. Not just me. Not just what we're done behind this microphone, this pulpit. Not just the elders, not just the men, not just the members, not just the adults. We are all, if we are in Christ, witnesses. We are all witnesses. But we need help. We need more than my rah-rah, hot air, tears and pleading, begging you. We need more than that. That's grossly insufficient. By God's grace, there's something greater than just me and my heart. Please turn with me to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. In Psalm 66, we see two great points of application when it comes to our responsibility as witnesses. When I hear the pages kind of settle off, I'll read. For now, what I want to tell us is this. Do not read your Bible like it's a newspaper. That is the first page or something. And if you're young, you don't know what I'm talking about. This old paper that used to be a furniture house back in the day and have all the updates in the world. And some cartoons are kind of silly for you, but that is a totally different story. Read God's Word with passion. Read God's Word with love. Read God's Word with a broken and contrite heart. Read God's Word like you need it. And if you're reading God's Word, you must see people read it like they need it. I set myself up for failure, but not to read it. It's grand way. But don't read it like this. Psalm 66. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. I'm good. God's Word is precious, and people have blinds that you would hold what you hold in your hands right now. Read it with reverence. Read it with love. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works because of the greatness of your power. Your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you. All will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Behold, bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net and laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made man ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet, you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts with the smoke of rams. I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was installed in my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. That is the word of God, and it's alive, and he's able to cut and pierce and penetrate even the hardest of hearts. I want us to consider this psalm, beloved. We would do well to meditate here. We're not going to spend time breaking it all down. Instead, I want us to really highlight two main points of application when it comes to the believer's greatness. And they both begin with the welcoming invitation to come. In verse 5, we read, come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the Son of Man. And then in verse 16, we hear it again, come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. So you can see in verse 5, it is an evangelistic, an outward witness. It is a going out and evangelizing. And in verse 15, is more of a congregational or an inward witness to believers. Both are good and both are necessary, not just for Israel then, but definitely for the church today, definitely for our church right now. Beloved, definitely good for you and me. The first point, the first type of witness is our evangelical or evangelistic witness. The Lord Jesus told his first witnesses that they were to go out and witness to the world from Jerusalem all the way out to the remote parts of the earth. But listen to what this psalmist says in verses 1 through 4 again. Shout joyfully to God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will feign obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. This is a call for the world to praise God. And if the psalmist can call the whole world and everybody after the current population of Mary wrote this wonderful psalm to praise God, then we can surely call in the very strength. Praise God. Did you get that? If you can call the world, can you call 2,000? I heard the Google say, I think 2,300 and something people. Do you know if we have a congregation of 60, then everybody Christian, of people like you are in the middle that have placed their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know, maybe we can round it down to 30 seconds or so. But if we have a congregation of 80, which is closer to what we have, and since we're all witnesses, it's more like 29 people, we have no excuse. And we can reach Newberry Springs, and we can reach Daggett, and if we can reach Daggett, we can reach Yearmouth, and if we can reach Yearmouth, we can reach Westville. We can have the military families that come and visit with us. We can encourage them to reach Fort Irwin. Some of you work at Fort Irwin. Can Satan stop that also? He's been trying forever. He can't do it. The gates of hell cannot do it. Can't do it. But please, before we get all encouraged to go out, I want us to pay attention to what's happening here. We need to understand that we're going to be proclaimers of the gospel. We first need to be praisers of God. We need to be praisers of God. What do I mean? Look at verse 3. The author of this song. The author of this song calls out, "Say to God, say to God." He's calling believers to praise God, to speak to God. Call out to God. Say to God, how awesome are your works because of the greatness of your power. He's a worshiper. He's a praiser of God. When he says how awesome, the LSB, the Liturgy Standard Bible, does a really good job at translating that because it's actually the word for fearsome. It is awesome. But it almost doesn't make sense because either the song is telling you or telling believers to speak to God and to tell God how awesome are your works. And then he gives this example of God's enemies cowering before God, giving this feigned, this deceptive obedience because of God's great power. And so the LSB translation, verse 3, how fearsome are your works. Because of the abundance of your strength, your enemies will cower before you. The psalmist recognizes that God is so powerful, and he's so great, and he's so grand, and he's so mighty, and he's the grand judge of every man, that even men that would refuse to acknowledge him will still at some point cower before him and give this pseudo-obedience, this fake obedience. That's how powerful God is. And the psalmist praises God with an appropriate fear of God and a realization of God's sovereignty and his hand over everything to judge everybody. And that drives the psalmist to praise. And so he speaks to not what is. The psalmist speaks to what will be in verse 4 because he says, all on earth will worship you. Will. Not is worshiping you. We know that all on earth was not worshiping God then. And we know that all on earth is not worshiping God right now. But that doesn't mean that all on earth won't at some point. All on earth will. And they will sing praises to you. And they will sing praises to your name. And the psalmist knows that. And he's overwhelmed by that. That there will be a time in man's history where everybody will worship God. Whether it's voluntarily or involuntarily. God will bring it up. And up those things, when we think about unbelievers standing in the judgment of God, it ought to provoke us to God goodness. And so it's on the heels of a statement like that, of a praise-filled statement like that, that then the psalmist says, come and see the works of God. This is praise before proclamation. This is praise before proclamation. When you suffer, when the pied tongue that keeps you from testifying and telling others, perhaps it is because your praise has run out. Perhaps it is because your praise has run dry. And when there is no gas in the car, it won't drive. You didn't get in that car. You didn't put the seatbelt on. You can adjust your seat. You can put the key in the ignition. You can fix your mirrors. And you can turn that key. But that car will not run. And you can come to the church. And you can hear sermon after sermon. You can go to Bible study. You can answer the questions. You can have a daily devotion. You can listen to sermons all week long. But if your heart and your mind is not filling up on praises for God, you will not proclaim God. What are you proclaiming? Because you are not praising. Have you ever told somebody to go and watch a movie that was terrible? Ever went somewhere and ate something there that was not good food, and then you go to someone and say, hey, go there. You don't even tell that to your enemy. Hopefully not. But we think that we can just be around this and hear this and sing this, and that's going to make us go and proclaim it like it's magic. And it's not that. What it is, it's not that. Do open your Bibles. Do read. Do listen to sermons. But as you're doing that, love every one of those experiences for little praise nuggets and stick them into your pocket so that they rattle around through your week and in your mind to hear people say, come and proclaim the excellency of this wonderful God, because he is just, listen to me, he is just too wonderful for us to be grossly saturated with, and then say nothing about it. When Christians run out of praise, they will not proclaim. They become witnesses that regularly plead the fifth, not wanting to incriminate themselves with their association to Christ. Oh, but the soul that praises God, but the soul that really praises God, that soul, you can't stop them from proclaiming Christ. You can't stop them from proclaiming Christ. They are looking for every opportunity to say, come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds, in his deeds toward the sons of men. And immediately the psalmist points to the time when God delivered them, when God delivered Israel. And the interesting thing is that we do not know who this author of the psalm is, but unless it was Moses or someone from that generation, this author was not there, which makes it very interesting in verse 6 when he points to God's deliverance, and the reason he points to God's deliverance because God's deliverance is an example of God's awesome deeds towards the Son of Man. He says, he turned the sea to dry land. He passed through
actually, in some sense, go back to the deliverance that God did and be blessed by it so that his soul rejoices in it. And love that does, it unlocks so much joy, so much faith, so much in him, so many promises. Because if we can be like this psalmist, then we can go back to whatever God has sent me and rejoice with them there.
We don't only rejoice with what God is doing right now. We rejoice with Peter when the chains came off when he was in jail. We rejoice with mothers that receive their children back. We rejoice with whatever we can find in the scriptures. Lord, it is all yours. It is yours. Why? He gives it to you so that you would witness. And that when the time comes for you to witness, you would not run out of things to say because you have so much that you can say. And we'll get into that. That's Psalm 71. But that's later. That's later. The sermon's not even one minute longer than whatever it is last week. He loves me, so I'm sure he's not mad at me. Listen, we can say we rejoice there. This is not just for Israel. This is for the church. Can we point to God's deliverance in the Old Testament? What we witness 100% yes, 10 times over, 100 times over, until Christ comes back as he can. But we also know Israel's hope. And we also know Israel's Savior because he is our hope and our Savior. So we don't only need to point to that event in the Old Testament, but we can also point to Christ. Thoroughly point to Christ and the Gospels. And beloved, we have been in the Gospel of John for over a year. Don't throw anything at me. I'm having a good time. Can you say, come and see the works of Christ in the Gospel of John? Can you go witness in Newberry and say, come and see the works of Christ, the things that he's seen because he spent a year in the Gospel of John? You know, I'll tell you this, in Newberry Springs, there are a lot of religious people. So please tell me that the Lord has deposited some nugget from the Gospel of John and has set it ablaze in you so that you can go out and you can tell people about it. I tell you this regarding the religious people in Newberry Springs. A couple of Saturdays ago, we were at a Valentine's banquet, and I tried to work my way around and meet people and greet people and all of that stuff. Which I don't mind. I love doing it. I just like being around more than two. I never stop. But anyways, there were a lot of people that introduced me as their pastor and told the rest of the people at their table that Newberry Community Church is their church. And both of those things and a lot of people were absolute liars. Little lies. I have found out since being here that I'm somebody's pastor because I pastor in Newberry Springs and they live in Newberry Springs. I have found out that people call Newberry Community Church their church because, I don't know, in the 90s they were baptized here. But I haven't seen them here once. These are religious people. And there are more religious people in Newberry Springs than there are saved people in Newberry Springs. But the Gospel of John testifies and helps us give witness. What did Jesus tell one of the most religious men in all of Israel who happened to be a teacher in John 3:3? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when those religious invariants come to us that we know do not
or perhaps do not really know God, ask them if they've been born again. Ask them these questions. And let the work that the Lord has been doing in this church and giving the gospel of John help us to testify to this community and proclaim to them the Savior who is life and gives life to all who believe in the form of new birth, in the form of being born again. Or why don't you come to witness some of the mothers on Thursday night when moms are coming to pick up their kids at Awana, and it's clear that some of the moms are tired and are in need of help, and the only help from the gospel, or the only help that the gospel can provide. Come on Thursdays and tell those mothers, come and see a Savior who said, if you knew the gift of God, you know that He gives living water to thirsty souls. Just as Jesus said in John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Or you can go to the food and commodities line and say, come and see your Savior who gives something far greater than bread that perishes. In John 6:33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And then verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Lord, we're called to proclaim. But if we're not praising, we're not going to proclaim. And we're sitting and listening to the word of God, and we don't look for those nudges like, how can I bring this into a testimony? How can I bring this into relationship to this community? And it's just going to go right in one ear and out the other. Like I said, all the hot air that I can put out up here, it's not going to help. I mean, hurt. Please remember that we live in this community by God's providence. He has placed us here. And it starts with everybody else here that is here. No one tumbled into this place by accident. They might think that. They also might think that there's just one break away. There's just one break away. In fact, there's not just one break away. In fact, the problem is that they're dead in their sin and they need a Savior. But please don't forget what Jesus said about those that are dead. In John 5:25, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Beloved, how will they hear his voice if his witnesses are silent? We must embrace our call to witness. Go to his word and fill up on reasons to praise him until you cannot help but to proclaim him. And say, come and see the words of God who is awesome and his deeds toward the sons of men. But there is also another form of witnessing that doesn't go out of the church. It focuses in on the church. Focuses in the church. It's a congregational witness. The first kind of witness focused outward, another evangelistic witness. The second witness focuses inward towards the believers and therefore makes it an edifying witness. One's out to to go and save souls, and the other is out to go and care for the souls that are already saved. The first tells the unbeliever, come and see. The second tells the believer to come and hear. Because the child of God, hearing, is believing by faith. We don't have to see. We already believe. We all already trust. Want to give us a break. I've been warned by somebody that I can't put the rest of this sermon in. And it pains me, but I will submit. The second witness is a congregational witness. And it is a prayer witness. But it might be a forgotten witness. It is a witness of when we witness to one another. How to win each other over. But look down at verse 16 of Psalm 66. Look pretty good consistency. I just want to let us know this is a preview of future attraction. Verse 16, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done to my soul. I want you to know this. I want to hear what God has done for your soul. You should want to know what God has done for my soul. You should want to know what God has done for one another and our souls to bring us to where we are here today. Today is a care group day, and I know that we won't have a care group in my house, but I want to encourage care groups. Remember that sometimes we'll pray for each other, and there can be a long list of requests. There's nothing wrong with that, because if there are needs, we need to make, answer our requests. But spend some time in your care group, confessing to each other what God has done for your soul. And next week we'll finish this second half. But get this. We've got to testify. We have to witness to our community. We must. And remember this. Don't be right on your heart. Go there again next week, okay? But Psalm 71, verse 15. But I already have it in my notes, and there are not enough plants for me, so they're etched in stone, so I'm not smart enough to avoid it. But I need to give this to us for just a point of exhortation in our reading right now. Is this Psalm 71, verse 15, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. My mouth will tell of your righteousness and of your salvation. The duration, all day long, the duration is tied to his knowledge. Because the sum of them are too great to number, because there are too many, that is why he spends all day long speaking of them. And so please, if you hear something from me, know that I am saying we are called to witness, but I am also saying this, unless we are praising New Berry Community Church, unless we are praising God, we surely will not be proclaiming God. But if we want to proclaim that, start praising God. Start learning the things about God that are praiseworthy. Everything about God. Right? If you're wondering, how do I start an evangelizing?
fill us with all of these things so that we would praise you and proclaim you as your faithful witnesses where you have.